Welcome back to It Starts With You podcast with me, Mark Hopkins. And this episode, I am speaking to none other than Cameron from Firefish, who is, in my opinion, the best gold standard example of how you, as an employee, can still have a personal brand very similar to people that are self-employed or run their own businesses. Because I think a lot of negativity that's been thrown my way about personal branding is that, oh, it's only for you self-employed people. I can't do that in my job. No one can do that in my job. My boss won't let me do that. And that is kind of the weakness of the argument, because here's Cameron doing it and proving it. And this is how Firefish are doing it in order to help Cameron develop his personal brand, because his personal brand is what sells the business. So listen to this. I hope you enjoy. So here he is, the man himself, Cameron from Firefish. How you doing, buddy?
Mark, good morning. I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. We were just saying before we started recording how it's nice to talk to someone that's not self-employed for a change. Yeah. To speak to the people out there that are employed at the moment, that understand there's a world out there for you that is very similar to being self-employed, working for a company. So that's what this is what this podcast is about this week.
Excited, looking forward to it.
Awesome. So tell the world a little bit about yourself, mate. Who do you work for? What do you do? And I guess why? Why do you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, sure, no problem at all. So I work for a company called Firefish Software. We are a recruitment CRM and sales and marketing platform, service in-house businesses and agency businesses, and majority on the agency side. And I head up what's called the growth team. So we work maybe slightly differently to some of the organisations or the people that are listening to this, if they are employed, how their sales and marketing teams work. So we very much work as one team. I've worked at many businesses before where you have sales team sit at one end of the office and the marketing team sit at the other and they hate each other. whereas we operate in a slightly different model to that. So we are collaborating and working really, really closely together on both the sales and the marketing side of things to drive things forward for the business.
Or in some recruitment agencies, marketing is given to Sue, who's the admin girl, because there's something for her to do as well.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And putting a couple of jobs on the job boards, and that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the marketing. It's interesting, actually, because I've worked for big companies like Reed and companies like that, and their marketing departments are like machines. They're absolutely, they have strategies, they have thought processes, they have the whole different world to the rest of the business. And I find sometimes they can be very segregated from the rest of the business. How do you guys not do that by making sure it's integral to the rest of the business?
It's a really good question, Mark. And what we do is we get different people from each part of the business involved in the decisions that we make from a marketing perspective. So we have a couple of meetings on a monthly basis to do with content and the messages that we're putting out to the market. And people from different teams will be involved in them. So we have like a top of the funnel content meeting, and that's the stuff that goes out in our blog and on our sort of blog and ebooks. So we'll plan all that stuff like a month in advance, and we have all the salespeople will be involved in that, as well as the marketing. And then we have other stuff that is more sort of what we call mid-funnel and bottom-of-the-funnel type content that goes out to our subscribers and our customers. So people from like the success team who manage all the customer relationships would be involved in that meeting. So we're always sort of working towards kind of just keeping our finger on the pulse in terms of what the wider market wants, as well as what our existing subscribers and customers want to be learning about.
So that's the strategy. So that's the bare bones of the strategy, basically, isn't it?
Planning is key. Yeah. This stuff doesn't just happen. Some people think it does, but there's a lot of work that goes on. A lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. We've got a fantastic team that are involved in the planning and the execution of the blog, all the way through from a couple of copywriters to a social media person to a videographer, photographer, graphic designer, all involved in this content engine that we have that kind of keeps us in mind for a lot of people in the agency and in-house space.
For me, the biggest part of this podcast is talking about you, because like I said, pre-recorded, you're in my top five of people that get, well, just is personal brand wise is phenomenal. It's better than most self-employed people I know whose personal brand is quite poor. How do you do that? What is the key to this? Because this is what I want to get into more, is about you and kind of how you got to become quite well-known on LinkedIn, quite well-known on social media, and a bit of a go-to person on certain subject matters as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's a funny one, Mark. So like, if you rewind the clock back, like a number of years for me, so go way back, like I worked in the hospitality space. I managed bars and restaurants in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And I was always a keen golfer when I was younger.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, played at a decent level. And I then went from the sort of hospitality industry into the golf industry. And I worked for a company called TaylorMade. So I don't know if you've ever watched the golf on the TV. And they're like an equipment manufacturer. They used to be owned by Adidas.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah. What was your handicap, by the way?
The lowest I was 4. I'm over 5 now.
Still bloody good, though. Mine's probably about 400. So
yeah, so not too bad. It's a good hobby of mine. And when I worked in that industry, I was fitting people for golf clubs up and down Scotland and the north of England. And I worked for a guy years and years ago doing that, a guy called Joseph Gilligan.
Yeah.
And he taught me about being as valuable as you possibly can to the people that you're working with at all stages of the sale. And he said that people will remember you forever if you just add as much value as you possibly can.
Brilliant.
And that kind of stuck with me through the transition into business to business, through into recruitment sales, recruitment marketing, and then laterally into the software and the CRM side of things.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very fortunate in that working at Farfish under Wendy, the CEO, that we have the autonomy to put ourselves and our own personal brand out there. There'll be lots of people possibly listening to this that want to do that, but they maybe don't necessarily have the freedom or the autonomy to do it. We've got a platform to do that here, which helps.
Yeah. Tell us about that platform, mate, because from... as a self-employed person, my platform literally is, right, I need to do a couple of videos today. I need to do a blog, or this is just content marketing side of it. And then I need to go off and do other things like marketing that out and mailers and so forth. And when I used to work for some company, especially in recruitment, sending a mailer was, you were given 10 minutes to do, you know what I mean? You weren't given that much time. Doing a video is alien to the vast majority of recruitment. So how does that platform work? Do you know what I mean? Do you get where I'm coming from?
It's like, so there are a few, there are different kind of, I guess there are different bits to personal brand and to kind of how you get yourself out there. One part of it is sort of content generation. So it is video, it is podcast, there is blogging. That's kind of one side of it. And then people often, if they're running like a solo business or in self-employed, that part of it can sometimes feel so distant from making a placement if you're a recruiter, that it's like, should we really invest any time in this? Or do we just focus on speaking to candidates and clients and actually what puts food on the table? And what I would always say to that is that the content stuff is a mid to long game, but once you get it working for you, you have people approaching you, all of a sudden your day-to-day job becomes so much easier.
So is that what's happened to you then? You've gone from the good old-fashioned cold calling, picking up the phone book, to mostly creating content day-to-day. Is that what you're focusing on?
Yeah, so I mean, I worked for monster.com many moons ago, and that was 80 calls a day, cold calls, nothing lukewarm about it. Create two opportunities a day, and hopefully close one of them in the long term. Now we are in a position with all of the effort and the work that we've put in over the years on the content side of things that my day very much looks like I'll come in the morning, I'll have a look at what we call marketing qualified leads.
Yeah.
So I am looking at companies and individuals, that said companies that have engaged with content or our brand somewhere, whether that be on social media or via our web. And then we are approaching those people to have lukewarm conversations with them along the lines of, hey, Mark, I noticed that you downloaded our GDPR ebook last week. Tell me more about the challenges you're having with that inside your business.
Ah, I got you. Yeah.
Okay, Cameron, we are finding that at the moment we're struggling with X, Y, and Z. Cool. How are you planning on overcoming that? Well, I can show you a way that would help you with that through the use of our software.
Yeah. And the response, how's that response been? Has it been more of a positive engagement than just a generalistic conversation?
Yeah, because we are able to identify people that are possibly showing a buying, a sort of a buyer's mentality, possibly before they've even identified that they have a need. Yeah. So that helps. But I guess like, for your solo recruiters out there that are listening to this, there are a couple of things that you can do from the content side of things. Most recruiters that are listening to this probably got into recruitment because they are good at talking to people and maybe not necessarily great at writing. I certainly find myself in that sort of situation over the years, and that I'm better at talking to people than I am at actually writing. So popping yourself out there on video is an easy thing to do nowadays. And if you've got some value to add to the market, don't be afraid to get yourself in front of the camera.
Yeah. That's kind of where this kind of the where I've got to know you. We knew each other before you started doing video, but where I've got to see you a lot more and more exposure, I feel, is with when you were doing video. Personally, when you're in a company that lets you do more video, how does that help you in your career? Has it changed anything in any way, or is it giving you a new freedom in your job, or what's it done for you?
Yeah, categorically, it's made my job easier. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm still billing, as it were. I still carry a quota inside the business, as well as driving the team's quota as well. It has made my job easier to get to the number that I have to get to on a monthly basis, because I have people come to me that say, I listened to your podcast, or I listened to the Crowdcast show that you were interviewing. X on, this was what you spoke about, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Or you get in mails coming through saying, I've been following your content now for a couple of months, really like what you're talking about, I'd love to have a look at what you guys do. So it's made my job easier, categorically.
That was what I was going to actually, I completely forgot about the Crowdcast, and that's where I got to know you, and that is video, stupid me.
You did do a Christmas special.
I did a Christmas special as well. I completely forgot about it.
You wore a Christmas jumper as well. I can't believe you forgot that. You wore a Christmas jumper.
And I wore, it wasn't antlers, it was something else, wasn't it? It was one of my wife's Christmas costume head things. And I stole it off her. I'll have to admit that one. But yeah, that was the other thing I was going to talk to you about, was the Crowdcasts, and how very similar to podcasts, very similar to kind of doing video, but speaking to industry experts. I don't see many CRM companies or many vendors to the recruitment industry doing these type of things. Why do you think that is? Is that something that Firefish is very uniquely about, is that exposure to the market, showing everyone what's going on, or is that something that's frowned upon? What is going on with that?
It's a really good question, and it's I don't know why more aren't doing it. And one of the things, if you ever watch back any of our shows, is that we don't talk about the product. We're there to just try and give as much value as we possibly can to the market, and people will naturally find their way back to us. And again, like, it's about working for an organization that gives you the freedom to do these things. So I put a case together, like I said, to the business a couple of years ago, that I've got this idea for a show. I want to get people from the industry on and talk, just chew the fat and talk about what's happening, but yeah, I don't want to reference anything to do with our product. It's not about that. We can have the name and the company name and stuff like that in it, but we're not going to talk specifically about the product. And the business just came back to me and said, yeah, go ahead, give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, you know what? Fail fast. Move on to something else.
Yeah.
So we tried it. It worked. It's continued to work. And it's something that I would say that any solo recruiter out there could easily copy and follow, because you will be speaking to candidates and clients on a daily basis that have an opinion on the markets that you recruit in. It's very easy for you to go to a stakeholder, you know, in an organization that you're recruiting for and say, look, I'm putting this show together about changes that are happening in the mechanical engineering sector just now. Would you be interested coming on as a guest? Very few people will say no to you if you have that approach.
You know, I've got some podcasts. I'm just getting it. I've got a long list of people I want to speak to. You were definitely in my top five people I wanted to speak to. And I've got about 15, 20 other people I haven't approached yet. And about half of them are in my industry I recruit in. So far, I am very nervous of doing it because people will see some clients of mine in there as well. I'll be honest with you, I'm really nervous. But then a piece of me said, but they work with you quite closely, quite exclusively. They enjoy working with you. They know you. They understand what you do. You understand what they do as well. So don't worry about that. And then when you look in the grand scheme of things, most companies are BD these days, hammered with marketing. The way you survive in that kind of process then, and this is how I'm kind of justifying it, by the way, the way you survive in that process then is by adding this value of podcasts, by adding the value of video and content marketing and being consultative in that process. So I'm still nervous, by the way, of doing it, but it's going to happen in the next couple of, hopefully within the next 2 months for sure.
The thing is with it, Mark, is like, if because you're running your own business, and many folk will be that are listening to this, time is precious, and there, you know, you're spinning 100 plates on a daily basis. But once you record one show, you can take that and repurpose it, and it can last you from a content perspective weeks, months, even years down the line.
Oh my videos! I've recorded something 63 videos over a year and a half, over 18 months, one a week at one point. Yep. And they're still generating views on YouTube, on my website. My website, one video has nearly 900 views a week on my website. That's quite a lot.
That's unbelievable, yeah. And you can repurpose that. You know, you can take a snippet out of a video, just a 10 to 20 second snip of a valid point, and redistribute that out across other channels to drive traffic back to your brand. Yeah. It's all these wee things that you can do. It doesn't have to be a massive drain on resource if you want to get involved in content or getting your name and your brand out there more than you're doing just now.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. But being about yourself as a person within a business, I know Wendy's an awesome person. Your boss is an awesome person. She gets it. What if you haven't got a boss that's an awesome person? How do you believe in yourself that you can do this kind of content marketing where you are stepping up to the plate and showing your face to the world? If you're that way inclined, how do you argue that case? What do you think is a good way of doing it?
I think you've got to just put a case back to say, look, let me try this. You know, it's and if it doesn't work, then we'll learn from it and we'll move on. We'll try something different. And if the business that you're working for is not receptive to that, are you the right person to be in that company? I mean, could you think, you know, should you be somewhere else where you'll have the freedom to try that? And I understand that there'll be people who are heavily KPI driven in agencies and all the rest of it, but the world is changing. You know, I actually put a blog out last week about why your top billers keep leaving your agencies, and it wasn't along the lines of they weren't getting paid enough money. It was along the lines of that they weren't getting the autonomy and the freedom to actually try new things.
That's the really important part of this, especially when I was working for people, was I remember writing a blog and the boss would be on the phone the next day saying, can you take that blog down, please? I was like, well, it's not about the company. It's about me, this blog. It's not, yeah, we don't think it's indicative to our marketing strategy or whatever the hell it was. And it was getting some serious reads as well and some great comments. And I think that's the point about content marketing. It's not about a strategy of like, it's got to have this one particular theme. It's, you can have thoughts, you can have ideas. There's so many elements to it, isn't there? It's not just, I just recruit engineers. That's not marketing. That's what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and you can have I don't know, some people are, you have an opinion, be yourself. You know, I might disagree about something you say and you might disagree about something I say. We'll have a conversation about it online in an open forum. Yeah. We'll just say like, this is, I don't agree with that, but that's what it's about. It's about promoting discussion and getting your opinion and your view out there.
I mean, you have, haven't we? We've chatted about stuff in the past, about things we've disagreed and agreed and got feedback from each other. And the reason for this podcast is probably because of you. but that's the thing, isn't it? That's the power about that. When you get the information out there, it's extraordinary how people come to you to talk about their problems. And then it leads to possibly business development from that, or it leads to a candidate generation, or, you know, it's, I found that fascinating.
Yeah, and there are a couple of cool things that you can do now. You know, like, so we operate on a metric where we try and get involved in a certain number of online conversations in a day. Out with the warm stuff that we're sort of working at the moment internally as well. We have a metric where we're going after to try and get involved in an amount of online conversations to add value to those conversations. So we actually, like, we KPI that inside the business.
That's a brilliant KPI.
So that is a good one to, if you're thinking about making a change, it's like, make a commitment to that process each week. And we try to leverage what we call it. We call it a number of online dates. And we're trying to move those dates from being online to offline over a period of time. And
the way that... That's a proper lead KPI as well. It's not a lag one. It's a lead one. You're pushing forward an agenda. Not an agenda, wrong word to use. But pushing forward a conversation towards, like you say, an offline conversation.
Yep, exactly. And
wow.
And the way I always break this down to agency owners when I'm talking to them about it, I say, well, if you've got your team and you say to them, right, if you can create just 5 new conversations per week online and then move them offline, that equates to 20 new conversations per month and 240 possible new opportunities per year.
Yeah.
Now, let's just say you only close 5% of those. That's 12 new placements in your business a year.
That's 12 placements for some people, full stop.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine what that would do to your line, like, in your business. So we make a commitment to that. And there's a couple of wee things that you can do that if you're a solo recruiter to try and find discussions to get involved in.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn have brought in a search now on the on content. So if you're running a search on LinkedIn and you've got the search bar up on the top of the page, you can put in a word like engineering and then you can search on content that's relevant to engineering.
Yes.
So all the recent posts about engineering will appear, and then you could go and, if that's your sector, you could wade into some conversations in there and add some value to those. And it's an easy way for you to see what's being said in the market in the sector you operate in.
And you look at some of the movers and shakers in LinkedIn, you know, like the Mitch Sullivans of the world. That's what he does. I know he does that certain conversations in certain ways, but it's all about adding a form of value into a conversation that is either opinion or it's either fact, or it could be even something slightly debatable where people then can have that conversation further within that thread.
Yeah,
that's important, isn't it? It's really important to do.
Yeah, some of the content that I've done from a personal perspective over the past couple of years it's been this stuff that has been a more challenging and asked more questions that has prompted the most discussion and the most that I've got the most from it. I put something out the other week about the cold calling is dead camp is half right. It's the cold that's dead, not the calling.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that sort of stuff promotes real discussion and is a key driver for engagement. So it's don't be afraid to challenge the status quo.
I think with everything that's going on, the funnel is still there quite solidly, but what you put in the funnel and how the funnel moves has changed massively. And I've noticed that the vast majority of my communication at the beginning is mostly marketed, and then once you get certain type of people into that funnel, you have that conversation. They already seen your marketing. They know it's written by you. They've seen your videos. They've already got a picture of you in their mind when you pick up the phone to them. That conversation literally is the warmest of conversations you'll ever have. You've never met them. You don't know what they look like, but it's a different conversation. And I've honestly, it's changed my world for sure, that methodology of recruitment.
I said this to Dave Hume a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about this sort of subject, and I said to him, "Like, when was the last time you ever bought or thought about buying something from someone that interrupted your day?"
Yeah. None. Zero. Nil. Not one.
Why are so many people in our industry still interrupting people's days every single day of the week, 5 days a week? It's just like. Yeah,
it blows my mind. And that's, you know, if anyone's ever come across this term before, the zero moment of truth. And I read this about 4 years ago as I was starting this business. And I found it very fascinating that people's buy-in habits have changed so drastically since the dawn of the internet. In the last 5 years alone, because of mobile technology now has become so advanced for purchasing stuff. We don't do much in the way of speaking to people, and we don't really like to really find out about a product face to face from people. We like to now do a bit of research, read reviews. We like to, if you're going to buy a TV today, you don't really pop down Currys and have a conversation with someone what's the best TV. Some people still do. Don't get me wrong. Some people will rather that, especially if you go to John Lewis. You see certain grouping of people that always do like to have that conversation. But I'm a little bit more, I want to find out a bit more about this. I want to hear what other people's opinion about this TV is. I want to hear what's happening about this person. And I think that's leached into other industries, like your industry for the vendors into our marketplace, like our industry, you know, where we're trying to sell our services. It's now about, you know, who are you? What do you look like? Why should I speak to you? It's all about that pre-conversation. I find that fascinating. I really do. And it's happening more and more. And like you just said, do you want to really speak to someone that's just called you coldly and asked you if you've got any jobs? Do you really want to do that in a bad manner or way?
So, no. Yeah. And you want to make sure as well that you've got, if you are speaking to potential clients and you're running up against like similar objections time and time again, try and show a way how you overcome that objection tied into your personal brand, whether it's in your head or on your LinkedIn, or you have a page on your website or your homepage addresses that when someone hits your website. Like, think about these things, because basically if someone hits your brand or your site for that matter, and they can't find the answer to those questions, then it's very easy for them to find another site or person that can answer that question before they engage in a conversation.
That's exactly it. And that's why when you create content, you try to engage in many different conversations as you possibly can, but you haven't studied, but you, no one's asked the question just yet. That's how I've kind of perceived it. Or some of the videos I've made, someone has asked me that question and I'll think, that's a great video. How many other people want to know about this? So I remember this one day, just over 2 years ago, someone asked me, what does my application look like when I send it to you? Because he was very paranoid about when he sends his application through JobSite or Reed or Indeed, what does it look like?
And some of the best videos I've ever created was those videos. It's extraordinary, actually. So people are now getting a little bit, they were getting like, oh my God, my CV on Indeed is terrible. Why have they done that to my CV? And that question has engaged thousands of people.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And sometimes when you're, if you're speaking to someone, like we'll quite often do it, and I'll ask somebody if I know they've been having a look at my LinkedIn or around the blog, you know, is there any gaps? Is there anything that we are not writing about that you feel as though that we should? And it'll often throw up challenges and issues that they're having inside their businesses that maybe we haven't got anything out there on. And some of that stuff performs like really, really well.
Yeah, slightly back to you and video and kind of, because you do very similar videos to me. You pick a question and you talk around that subject, and I guess more of the logistics of it. I think I want to kind of get into, because I think a lot of people will be talking about their time and their energy and how much time and energy and what they should be doing around it. How much time does it take you to produce one video, and are you KPI to make a video, or how does it work internally with you guys?
Yeah, so we do one a fortnight.
Oh, okay.
One a fortnight, and we will pair salesperson, and the process is that we come up with the script and what we want to talk about, and that goes to our videographer, who is actually, we're very fortunate in that the CEO's Wendy's husband is a videographer. Oh, wow. So we've got that resource, which is great. Every second Tuesday, I'm recording a video first thing in the morning. The script goes to him by close of play on a Monday. And we record it on the Tuesday, and then subtitles and stuff are added, and it's ready to go out on the Wednesday.
Oh, wow. So you guys have is it just you in the room, or is there someone in the room with you, or how's it behind the scenes?
Yeah, so we actually, so the famous brick background is actually the wallpaper in the kitchen in the Farfish Aquarium.
No way, really?
Everyone thinks it's a green screen, but it's not. We actually have that wallpaper in the kitchen. So we just record it in there.
Well, that's the beauty of using really good lighting, really good camera, or if you're using a mobile phone, making sure the lighting complements the quality of the phone that you've got, and then it makes everything look very CGI.
One of the things that's been really valuable to us is like we started off doing video and it was just on mobile phone, and we were doing them in the kitchen. We had the phone on a stand and we started doing it that way. We put a few out and we're like, how can we keep improving this? And the few changes we made, obviously moving to like a better camera and a tripod, lighting was a big thing for us and a massive thing for us in terms of what bumped up the engagement on the video that we do is taking the time out to add in subtitles.
Me and you can argue about this for hours, I bet you. I haven't seen a difference in subtitles, but I need to push more subtitles. I get what you're saying. I'm just not pushing enough subtitles.
I saw a big in the engagement on them, as if more people were watching them. I wouldn't say necessarily that the views went up, because the metric on LinkedIn for views is just someone spends, I think it's 3 seconds on it. Yeah. But the comments and engagement went up because I think more and more people were watching them to the end and then actually taking the time out, maybe on their mobile phone or whatever, to actually comment on them.
Yeah.
So I noticed the engagement up, but not the views.
See, that's the thing. Whenever I post a video and I check it out, a couple of mates and say, hey guys, check out this video, please like it and stuff, I always get the one or two of my friends, I'm going to call them friends for the moment, in the recruitment industry, always say to me, I didn't bring my headphones today. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. And then I think, well, who else hasn't brought headphones? Admittedly, my videos are aimed at candidates. Most of them are probably going to watch it in the evening on the way home. And this is why I'm doing podcasts as well, to talk about things so people can listen to it on the way home. That's an area that we always forget, that people want to hear information. That's kind of why I had no issues from it. But you're right, and I'm wrong. But I'll be honest with you, it's the ones I have got subtitles now are starting to, because like you said earlier on, regurgitating that content it's an investment that is just keeps giving that content. And then the ones I had subtitles lately, that I spent some money and got them done properly, is extraordinary. The return has been more comments, more likes, and actually more offline conversations as well.
That's the key.
And that is the key. And that's how I measure, by the way, videos, is offline conversations I have. That's how I measure them.
That's a great metric for anyone that's listening to that. It's like, yeah, so what are you getting from it? Views or vanity? Offline conversations is where it's at. Like that's what the aim of the game is.
And if you can get 1 in 100 or 1 in 300, I think you're doing well. I think you're doing really well, actually. So views to offline conversations.
Especially if you know if you're marrying this stuff up in terms of return, if you think about anyone listening to this, think about what your average placement fee is. If this gives you like one more placement, even a quarter as a solo recruiter, it's a big difference.
It is. Engagement wise, and I've only been doing this a week, this podcast, and pushing it forward. I'm hopefully going to do one a week and stuff like that. But engagement wise, we're well over 100 listens in less than a week. So there is a marketplace for people to listen to other people talk about things and support each other and understand how we do these certain things. So yeah. And then
I'm a massive fan of podcasts and audiobooks. Like my commute time into the office can be 40 minutes to an hour. And I drive in, so I always have a podcast or an audiobook on when I'm doing it. That's my time to do it on the way in and the way home, because I don't get the chance in the evening with family. But that's my time for it. So I think there's a massive place for it, and it's easy to do as well. Podcasts is a really low barrier to entry. Again, as solo recruiters, easy enough to pick up and start doing.
Do you think, coming back slightly to video, do you think the quality, I just thought of this up my head then, do you think the quality of video is really important? Do you think getting that right is important?
You know what, it's a really good point, and there are two really divided opinions on this stuff. For us, we decided really that we wanted everything to be really polished and high quality and well edited, because for us, we felt as though it tied back into our brand in terms of what we do from the ebook perspective, the blog perspective. You know, we make a real push on that. That's not to say that you can't have a good performing video of you walking down the street if what you've got to say is really valuable, but for us, it's a brand decision to keep things nice, looking really, really nice all the way through, because it ties back into our company values.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the reason why I do more quality-esque videos, or try to do more quality-esque videos, I haven't got as much of the kit as you guys have, but why I try to do that is because if I was an employer and I needed an agency to work with me, and I saw, oh, look, Mark's doing some videos. Let's have a look at them. And I see the quality and the effort put into it. And I edit all my videos. I do all my scripts. And, you know, no one does it all for me, except for subtitles, where I just send it to the subtitle to be done, which takes like 30 seconds, doesn't it, to get done. And then you've got to edit it. But that's by the by, because they don't understand my Welsh accent mostly.
I have the same problem.
it's just Celts, isn't it? They just don't like us. I find that the conversation with clients, especially, you know, they're looking at it and go, oh, you've put some effort in this. The conversation with clients then, when it talks about, oh, so I watched your video about getting better at interviews, like a recent conversation I just had. And the feedback I ask is, how do you feel? Oh, it's very professional. And I've got, I make my videos like almost movie-esque by bringing the black lines in a bit more.
Yeah.
And what that does, it changes the whole profile of the video. It makes it more movie-esque. It makes it more almost documentary, if that makes sense. So yeah, that brings a different quality. So I think, I'm 100% with you, mate. I think quality videos is probably, I err on that rather than the portrait kind of camera.
I think it just, like you've identified there, that it ties back to your business and your brand. And if anyone's watching that, what is their perception of how you do things behind the scenes? Well, if you know, for us, we want it to be streamlined and professional looking, because that's how we conduct ourselves, you know, with our clients. It's the same for you.
Oh, have I lost you?
No, it's still on.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, sorry. you're right. Is it? You're right. Out of content that you've done then in the past, what's been the most successful piece of content, or is that something you don't want to give away, a secret?
No, I'd be happy to share. So from a for me personally, from a video perspective, the two that have performed the best was, I did one about something along the lines of, do you know what makes me want to punch myself in the face? And it was to do with the sharing of jobs out through a platform that standardizes the copy. So it's like, our business is recruiting for X, please click on this link to see the job profile. Yeah. And you'll see recruiters sharing that out on LinkedIn all the time. And it's, you know, and I was like, come on, it's 2019, it's candidate driven. You need to give people more than that to get them to take the time out to click on a link and come back and learn more about the opportunity. And if you get back to learn more about the opportunity and the copy and the advert is shit, you're wasting your time. You might as well just make 100 cold calls and see what happens.
Yeah, totally. You may as well just download 100 CVs and mail them just anything.
And just, yeah, fling crap at the wall and hope it sticks.
Oh, for one of them sticks, yeah. That's yeah. An interesting one. No, that's a really good one. So that's had quite a traction then, is it? That's had quite a good...
Yeah, I had over 15,000 views, 100 comments, and then the one that I did about the cold calling is, the cold calling is dead. Camp is only half right. It's the cold that's dead, not the calling. That performed really well and sort of stirred up a lot of discussion in the industry as well, where you have some people coming in and just saying, cold calling's where it's at, it's always the way to go, da 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 da. And you had other people coming in and saying, no, actually, do you know what, there's always a place for picking up the phone, however, you can just do it smarter nowadays and lead into having more lukewarm conversations. That's very much where I sit on it.
Brilliant. And that's probably another key to content that I discovered as well, is pick the topical subjects and have a real opinion on them. Even have a well-researched opinion is just as good. As long as, and I'll be honest with you, 90% of my videos is researched before I do any filming. I actually write down at least 5 or 6 things to talk about, and then I don't script it, I bullet point it. But I feel like that's what my videos are more about, is me not ranting, but having an opinion that's not scripted. Whereas I guess sometimes you need, I have scripted a few videos, I just can't read auto cues. I think that's my problem.
I have done both. So I'll do bullet points sometimes, and sometimes I feel as though that I do need to actually write it all out and maybe get stuck at a specific point, and I'm like, oh, so our outtake reel might hit the market at some point, maybe towards the end of the year, and there'll be a good laugh in some of those for some of the muck-ups.
I've built up a third one. Admittedly, I have deleted quite a few videos because it was chugging up my phone massively, because I record, it must take about 15 takes, I think, on average. I had one video, I was so impressed with myself, I hit the record button and I did my thing and then stopped it and went, it's done, one take, I can't believe it.
Nailed it.
And I've never done that again out of 60 something videos that I've done. In fact, this videos I've done has never ever gone out. Have you done that yet? Have you got videos that have never gone out?
No, I have some crowdcast shows that I haven't converted to podcasts.
Okay.
But that's mainly due to the quality of the sound. But I've not got any that I've recorded and not put out to date. It might happen, but not yet.
That's awesome. So I guess, to kind of put this into perspective for people about you, you're an employee. I think you work for one of the best companies in the UK, not let alone Scotland, probably number one.
Thanks, Mark.
But definitely in the UK. For what Wendy lets you guys get up to.
Yeah.
Wendy's probably listening to this going, I don't let him get up to anything.
She doesn't know about any of this. Yeah. She's even, I'm recording this today, and I'm like,
that's fine. she's probably going, I know, it's control, Mark. It's really controlled. I know what they're doing now. No, but what I'm saying is, it's giving you that breathing room to do your job and creatively do your job. We were talking about mastery and purpose. Do you feel you've got that?
100%, yeah, totally. And it's what, you know, I don't wake up in the morning and think, oh, I've got to go to work today. blew an ick. It's like, you know, we are allowed to implement our own ideas into the business, and if those ideas don't work, we just learn from that. Yeah. But at least we've got the chance to do it, you know. And it's like, if you're trying to scale a business or you're trying to retain staff, which we all know is a challenge inside the industry, giving them that little bit of autonomy and respect to go and try these things is a great place to start.
I'm finding it fascinating that the two types, and especially in the recruitment industry, which we are firmly in the middle of, I find it fascinating that the most you guys that supply the products to our industry are that free mind thinking, are that open. And, you know, you look at your colleagues at Ordo, who's that other gentleman? Adam Gordon. He does that.
Yeah, Candidate ID. Yeah.
Him as well. And so I see, then you see the old school databases, sorry, CRMs. I should call them CRMs. The old school CRMs, like Adapt. I don't even know who runs it. I've never seen an advert. It's fascinating. But you guys, you're all ex-recruiters, or you've come from the recruitment industry, and you thought, and you've realized, this is not how we bloody market stuff. This is how we should be marketing it. Then also then within our industry, it's the small agencies or people like myself, where we've started businesses, that have recognized this, that this is a better way of doing things. This is I don't want to use the word easier, because making video, writing video, filming it, it's not, sometimes I would rather do a cold call.
It's not easy.
But the ROI on video is greater than one cold call. It's extraordinary. So spending that 20, 30 minutes doing that quick video. But us guys, again, but then there's still this old school, old hat thinking that doesn't, and the most listeners of especially the readers of my posts and the viewers of my videos, because LinkedIn gives you that metrics of who's watching it, who's the top people. And it's the agencies, mate, that don't do any video, that don't do any blogs, that don't do any form of expression of themselves.
They are sitting there with a frustrated team. Yeah, and I find the same myself. The top performing videos that I put out, if I go on and look at the analytics behind them, it is names of agencies that fall into the bracket that you've just mentioned. But that doesn't surprise me, because the niche, bespoke, solo agencies, those people have found themselves starting those businesses because they weren't given the freedom and the autonomy to do what they wanted to do in the first place. So they thought, bugger it, I'll go and do it myself.
Yeah, and that's when it leads into things like writing better copy, writing better blogs, selling themselves completely different, because they realized, the one thing I realized about 10 years ago, especially working for an agency, is mailers worked 10 times better than 100 cold calls. And it wasn't about sending the mailer, it was the message in the mailer, the copy in the mailer that made sense. And I found that developed more business opportunities and more conversations. And I think that then led me to realizing other forms of content and marketing and other ways of doing things. And I guess those are the type of people that are sitting right now in an agency where they're 50, 60 BD calls a week to do. I realize, is there a better way of doing it? God damn, yeah. There's 100 better ways of doing that.
Yeah, and the way, I mean, if you mentioned like Audro and Candidate ID earlier on, and I mean, for us, those three, ourselves included, those three businesses, I mean, we're not a tech startup anymore by any manner. I mean, we'll be going 10 years in our own right come January. So, I mean, that's a long time, but it feels like working at a technology startup.
Looks like it.
Versus working at an enterprise software sales business that, like you said a moment ago, that you don't know anybody, like a faceless organization. And at the end of the day, I've said this numerous times as well, that even in the business to business space, it's different from business to consumer. People buy from people in the B2B space, not brands. So your own personal brand is something that's really, really important to get people to make decisions.
Do you know where I see it the most is when you go to these recruitment, expos, and you're walking around and you see the stands, which are hyper busy, and it's normally you guys. Really, loads of people talking to you and all around you, and not just talking about business, just chewing the fat half the time. But but that's the idea, isn't it? You by doing that, you bring the boys to the yard. Is that the right word?
There's a song in there somewhere.
Something about milkshakes as well. Yeah. But also, you know, you're walking around these stands, and then you see, I won't mention other softwares, but you'll see some certain softwares, and there's a poor girl sitting there with an iPad or something, and no one's speaking to her. No one's come to them because they know the name, but they don't know who she is. Do you know what I mean? So you'll have maybe one or two people that come by and go, tell me a little bit about your software. And that's it. That's all I talk about.
They've got a much harder job to get to their number at the end of the month.
I think so.
Which is where all what we've been talking about comes into fruition, and it makes sense to, if you're listening to this and you're not doing this at the moment, just start. Like, it doesn't have to be a massive commitment of like you're taking 6 hours a week out of what you're doing in terms of speaking to clients and candidates. Just earmark, even if it's 45 minutes, like 45 minutes a week, just to record a video, or if you like writing, just to put some thoughts down on a bit of paper. It's worth it in the long run.
I think most recruiters that are listening to this, they know they've got about an hour to 2 hours a day where they do jack all. Absolutely nothing. Even if, you know, people are precious about dinner breaks. I started doing my videos in that 12 to 1 o'clock slot. I gave myself a dinner break. What the hell was that about? Self-employed. You don't really need one. You just walk to your kitchen and then make a sandwich whenever you want. You don't need to really think about that. I was getting very... Because people were saying to me, oh, when do you have time to do this? That was the one thing that really got on my nerves. It's like, my time is my time.
I hate, it's one of my pet hates, is that argument is about like finding time. There's what's it called? Is it Murphy's Law? And it's like it's a psychological theory that's been proven over the years, in that if you set an amount of time to do a task, that's how long the task will take you. And like an adage for that is like, if you're having a dinner party on Friday night and you've got friends coming round for that, and it starts at 8 o'clock and you finish work at 6 o'clock, but you have to tidy the house before they come, you will tidy the house in that 2 hours. If you take the Friday off work to tidy the house, you will start at midday and it will take you 6, 7, 8 hours to do it.
That's so true. That is so true. Yeah. That's a fantastic idea. So time is really subjective, I think, with content, and especially with the ROI as well that you get from it, because one video isn't about releasing it today. One video is about releasing it every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, and or put a link at the bottom of your email, or create a YouTube site, whatever you want to do.
So we've been working really, really hard the past 6 months on repurposing content. So the crowdcast that I do, it then gets turned into a podcast that then is distributed. We can then take snippets from that, short 4 or 5 second snips, to go on Instagram to then drive traffic back. It's like one bit of content can turn into 10 to 15 bits of content as well. So try and get as much bang for your buck out of every single thing that you do, rather than just thinking that like writing one blog and putting it out there and that's you done. It's not. You can get more from that if you think about how you can repurpose it across different channels.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, I think everyone's ears are going to be kind of bleeding now of the amount of content ideas we're giving them.
Brilliant.
I think that is probably part one of probably millions of things they're going to have to listen to find out a bit more about this. But I think if they look at people like yourself, if anyone wants to do the content marketing similar to myself and Cameron, look at people like yourself, isn't it, Cameron? And not emulate, but gather as much ideas and thought processes from it and just give it a go. Do you think?
Yeah, and I am more than happy to speak to anyone who's thinking about doing this. If they want just an informal chat about some ideas and how to approach things, you know, then please feel free to reach out. I'm here to help.
Awesome, mate. Thank you. And thank you for this. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day, because I know, is it Tuesday? So you should have done the film today, or was that next Tuesday?
Actually, we are taking some kit with us down to the UK, down to our conference tomorrow in London. So we'll do some stuff down there on at the show tomorrow. So we're packing up and heading down south. Yeah, a 4:30 a.m. alarm clock tomorrow for a day in London. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, I'll wave at you as you pass Tamworth.
Yeah, keep an eye out for you.
Okay, yeah, are we on the bridge? You know the one.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah. Cheers, Mark. I really appreciate you asking me on. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks very much.
No, it's been absolute fun my end. Thank you very much, mate. Thanks for coming on, and we will speak again.
Cheers, mate. Pleasure. Thanks. Bye bye. Bye.
This is why I love Cameron. He's an employee in a business. Extremely knowledgeable about content marketing, and I mean really knowledgeable. The reason for this podcast, I did actually go to Cameron and actually ask his opinion about it, and he agreed with me. It's a good thing to do. So I'm still finding my way and learning about podcasts and how content marketing works. And you know, I've been doing it for 4 years, closely to how Cameron does it, as closely as possible. But those guys at Firefish are leading the way in that sense. And if you ever, the idea behind it is, if you ever think about a product, if that product comes to your mind, it's not because that product sold to you, it's that because that product has given you a lot of valuable information, and then you'll remember the product. So for instance, with Firefish, if I'm looking for a CRM, I will remember them because of Cameron, because of what he does, because of his colleagues. And because the way the company is managed and the way the company is produced out there. And that is the importance, in my opinion, of making sure your employees have a personal brand, a personality that people can approach and remember the value that you add. It's extremely important. And I think Cameron demonstrates the utmost kind of gold standard, absolute standard of where an employee can be, and he's still on a journey. He's still discovering where the next level to come to with that. So yeah, absolutely enjoy speaking to him, enjoy seeing what he does, and I hope you took away something from it. But yeah, like he said, reach out to him, speak to him, all things content marketing. He definitely will chat to you about it. So thanks for listening to this podcast. We've got loads more coming, so take care, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye bye.